This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Good Monday morning to you. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff. How are you?
I'm good, Pack. Great to be with you. Same to you. Same to everybody who's joining us this morning. Monday after the college football playoff rankings, Monday after the ACC championship, and looky, 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 who's got two of the four, Pack?
Yeah, we're going to get to all that. We're going to get to the ACC's weekend because we got football and basketball, and Eric McLean is going to stop by as he normally does on a Monday. This guy, Dabo Swinney, is going to hang out with us during the third hour as well, which we look forward to. But I just want to get to the weekend first before we get to all this football and basketball. Are you okay? I mean, have you reached the point of just – are you so numb – to Tom Brady walking into the ATL that you're like, doesn't faze me anymore? I'm just asking. I'm just asking for friends. I'm just asking. Are you numb to all of this? Or is it just like, hey, salt in wound, that guy bothers me? Just curious.
We're not gonna be exchanging any kind of holiday cards with him, that's for sure.
Okay.
It's a little irritable. To be honest, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's the whole deal, right? I mean, the guy is, he's unbelievable. And he got some help now. I mean, he, you know, guys made great plays behind him. Not necessarily super efforts defensively or offensively for Atlanta yesterday. So, yeah, Tom Brady did to Atlanta exactly what he did 4 years ago. Yes.
Right. I'm just going to tell you this before we get started with the show.
Except it wasn't for the Super Bowl or the World Championship of professional football.
I got it.
And
noted.
Thank goodness it wasn't 28-3 when it started.
So noted. Let me just say this, and then we'll get on to our business. It could be worse. You could be a J-E-T-S, Jets fan.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say. It could be worse because that is going to have a tie-in in all likelihood to the ACC and Trevor Lawrence. It could be worse. I'm just saying.
I wonder, you know, our producer, Andrew Brooks, has some ties to the previous administration of Mike Greenberg's life. Maybe we ought to see if Drew wants to go check on the Get Upset this morning to see if Greeny's got a gas can and a Bic lighter sitting by the desk.
I mean, hey, guys, right? What are y'all doing? I'm just
what
asking.
What are y'all doing?
I'm just asking, what are y'all doing? I mean, hey. That's unbelievable. You got to laugh.
Hey, you could look at it like this, though. Well, you got to laugh. And you and I have a mutual friend who works in the Jets administration, too. So there you go.
I conversed with him yesterday. I'm not going to name names here, but you probably can connect dots. But
maybe we ought to check with Bob Wischusen, and he's the voice of the Jets, does some ACC games on ESPN. Maybe we ought to check with him.
No, I'm just going to leave that alone. Oh. There's got to be enough torture with all that stuff. All right, let's get to our business, which was the ACC biggest game since dirt. Clemson, Notre Dame. And, you know, there's so many angles to go here. Looking back at it, Wes, this really turned out to be similar to the SEC's version of Bama LSU 2011. And what I mean by that is the first game was an overtime thriller. Unbelievable game, right? Unbelievable game. The rematch, which happened to be for the national championship, was one of the most boring, put me to sleep. Are you guys ever going to cross midfield? Let me know when you do games, right? It was just a complete total beatdown. Here we got Notre Dame Clemson, right? November 7th, phenomenal game, the best game this year in college football, no doubt. No disrespect to Coastal and BYU. These were heavyweights, and it was a great game in South Bend. We got the buildup, we got the hype, the ACC center stage. Notre Dame gets off to actually a pretty good start. They're up 3-0, first and goal at the 10. You're thinking, hey, here we go again. Notre Dame imposing their will early, couple third down conversions, and then it happened. Right, Amari Rodgers, touchdown, and here goes Clemson, and the rest is history as they absolutely obliterated Notre Dame. I mean, that score was not indicative of what took place Saturday, and that surprised me. All week I kept telling you, man, those folks out in Vegas, what do they know? right? The line was 10. I just didn't understand it. But man, Clemson just put on a clinic after the first quarter and really made a pretty good football team look ordinary. And I know Notre Dame is not ordinary.
No, not ordinary at all. And here's the other thing. 16 might be pretty good, guys. You know, I mean, let's be honest. 16 makes a difference. Everybody kept talking about passing yards. We mentioned his ability to run with it. I think we got to see a little bit of that. The other part of it is he is the matrix when it comes to the offense. He understands the offense. He knows where guys are going to be. His release point's a lot quicker. He changes the game from a temperament standpoint. And I'll go back to something you said. It's amazing how smart you can get if you sit here and listen to Pack during this. Remember he said Clemson would be chasing? Clemson liked being the chaser. Clemson liked chasing Notre Dame last week.
Yeah, he did.
Clemson had a lot of fuel to chase Notre Dame for. And how do you know they were chasing? If you listen to the comments of Skowski after the ball game, we didn't like the people running up to us on the field in South Bend.
Right in their mouths.
Clemson liked chasing. They liked chasing these last 3 weeks. And here's the other thing. Clemson's going to be chasing now.
Yep. Well,
and that's it's an interesting dynamic for them, Pac.
They're also going to play a team that's chasing them. And Ohio State, Clemson's been living rent free in Columbus, Ohio since Dirt.
Oh.
All right. I mean, since they eliminated Woody Hayes's legacy and they embarrassed Urban Meyer 31-0 and they gave Ryan Day his only loss. Clemson's been living rent free in Ohio. And the Buckeyes have circled the calendar. We're going to see these guys again, and they're going to get them. They're going to get them in the Sugar Bowl. And I would say that based on what I saw from Ohio State Saturday, they better get a lot better soon because that won't be good enough for them. I'm just telling you. Now, they're a talented bunch, but they were fortunate to beat Northwestern. Clemson's a lot better than Northwestern. But we'll worry about the Sugar Bowl and all that stuff later. But you're right, Wes. When Clemson is all of a sudden when you – because they're seldom in that role. They're seldom in that role. But look back when they have been. When they are in the role of where they now have to go chase, they've been fantastic. And I thought Clemson was fantastic Saturday. I mean, Trevor Lawrence
–
Trevor Lawrence throwing the football is one thing. Even when Kirk Herbstreit was with us last week and said, you know, Trevor Lawrence's legs could be the difference. Dude ran for 90. And I know there's a lot of really great players in college football, but that dude right there is the best player in college football. You know, vote for the Heisman however you wish, and whoever gets it will be a really talented, great player. But number 16 is the best player in college football, period. It's not even a debate.
Yeah, and it's and the leadership, the intangibles, the instincts, all the stuff that happens physically that you see on the field, the instincts are the other thing that kicks in. I mean, and quite frankly, that's the part about this that made the difference the other day. That and, again, Skowski, Davis, those guys being back up front. I mean, Pac, that had a big impact in the way that ball game played out. Those guys
– and the first one.
Those guys were on – they wanted to deliver a message to Notre Dame. Now, here's the other part about this. Notre Dame – the first drive where Dorr kicked the long field goal, I got no problem with that drive. But I can speak to this from some experiences on Sunday. When you get back in the red zone, when you get back close, you got to find a way to score touchdowns there.
Against that team.
Because the missed field goal of 24 yards, that doink deflated Notre Dame. But what deflated Notre Dame was not the missed field goal, was the missed touchdown opportunity. Because if it's 10-0 there, that's a different story. That's a different temperament. That's a pressing Clemson, not a chasing Clemson. And I think that's important to remember. It's important for Clemson to remember that too. Because early on, I got to be honest, I thought Ian Book and I thought those guys, I thought Tommy Reese, I thought they had some really good level things going early in the ballgame, Pack, that had Notre Dame been able to maintain some of that edge – would have been important. And I'm not saying the missed field goal is the difference in the game. I'm not that foolish. But you didn't get a touchdown there. You didn't put Clemson into a different set of emotions and a different set of momentum. And that's part of this deal. That's a big part of this deal.
Well, here's the other thing, too. If I would have told you before the game, again, the biggest word in sports, I say this 100 times a week, if is the biggest words in sports. If I would have told you before the game that Ian Book was going to go 20 of 28, he was not going to throw a pick, Notre Dame was only going to commit two penalties, you'd have said, oh, all right. You know, Clemson got their hands full. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't. And Ian Book did all that. Notre Dame only had two penalties, didn't have a turnover, won the turnover battle. But that, like, you're right, Wes, you know, that was a tone setter early for potentially for Notre Dame. Because the first game they get up 10-0, you're like, oh, okay, Clemson, time for you guys to respond. No, you know, no Trevor Lawrence, da da da. And it still turned out to be a great game. But I thought after the first quarter, I mean, that was a woodshed. I mean, that was, hey, we're going to spot you three, and then we're going to just score the next 34 on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, that game got so out of control that there was a time in late third quarter that I'm thinking, man, if Clemson ends up winning this game 48-3 or something like that, they might just beat Notre Dame right out of the college football playoff. That actually crossed my mind because I thought there was no way in the world Notre Dame was out, regardless. And then you're watching the game, and it was, quite frankly, such a mismatch, second, third, and fourth quarters, that the dudes with the paw on their helmet, I mean, poor Ian Book's running for his life all day. And they couldn't run the football. You know, that was the other thing. It was such a total difference from game one to game two. Dabo, you know, mentioned afterwards, hey, we got beat in the trenches up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. I thought Clemson packed the punch Saturday. And when you look at the numbers, game one, Notre Dame outrushed Clemson 208-34. Game two is literally a total reversal, 219-44 in favor of Clemson. And oh yeah, this guy, Travis Etienne, who's been rather quiet, guy's still great, isn't he? I mean, finally, first time in a long time, over 100. It's always been a problem for people out of the backfield. Etienne was great. I just thought Clemson just kind of said, hey, guess what? We're healthy, and how does it look? And you know what? I know Notre Dame had a lousy day, but I think Clemson made them had a lousy day. Best team won.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a lot of good things about what Clemson did on both sides of the ball, but Tigers delivered a message. There's no doubt about that. And now we set our stage for two ACC teams into the college football playoff. Clemson gets Ohio State in the All-State Sugar Bowl in primetime on New Year's night. Notre Dame will play Alabama in the Rose Bowl in Arlington earlier that day. And going to be interesting to watch and see how just this thing kind of comes together. Plus, we've got one, two, three, four other ACC teams going to postseason this morning. We'll cover all that and more. Some good matchups there, too, including one in Pac's backyard for all the tomato sandwiches you can eat.
Duke mayonnaise. The Swiss are coming in to take on the boys from Bratwurstland. Whiskey and the Swiss for the Duke's Mayonnaise Classic. By the way, the Duke's Mayonnaise trophy is pretty cool. I saw that picture of that the other day. That's nice. Never saw that before. Did you see that yet?
Yeah, some folks have been getting some. No, I'm not, but I'll tell you this. Some folks have been getting some Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl gear, I've noticed. You've been getting some of that? I know you got the T-shirt.
I went and bought the T-shirt before anybody knew that was out there. And ironically, I met with the folks from Duke's Mayonnaise the other day. But I've not received any gear. I got a Bojangles biscuit pillow sitting over there. I did receive a gift, though, over the weekend. Yeah. And he's sitting over here beside me. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. And another one, which we'll definitely get into. But
oh, you got two gifts?
I got two gifts. Yeah. Yeah, one we're going to showcase
the holidays
later in the show. But we got another one. I got my partner sitting here keeping the chair warm beside me.
Explain that
later on.
Stay tuned. When we come back, we only have a three-day work week, kids, because we have filed for holiday status on Thursday and Friday. But when we come back, we're going to get into what's headed down the road here. Football perspective and more, and tell you about a busy week on Packer and Durham, even though we're only here a couple more days. Back after this. Good morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. And guess what, Wes? It's going to be difficult. All these all-ACC voters and everything else, we got you covered Tuesday and Wednesday coming up.
Yeah, look at this. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, we'll announce the winner of the Jacobs Blocking Trophy and the Jim Tatum Award, along with the Brian Piccolo Award. And then at 9 o'clock tomorrow, right here on the old program, show 284, we will have the All-ACC football team. But wait, there's more. Wednesday, before we punch our holiday tickets, at 8 o'clock, we'll do the Player of the Year and the Rookies of the Year. And then at 9 a.m., we'll announce the Coach of the Year right here on Packer and Durham here on ACC Network. So we got all that on our card. More responsibility and more maturity asked of us here in the next couple days before we shovel off to our holiday vacation.
I wonder, at 9 a.m. the next 2 days, well, actually the next 3 days, because Dabo is going to join us at 9 a.m. this morning. 9 a.m. Right. Tomorrow, yep, when we announce all ACC, I promise you, and I have no idea who won what, I promise you, right, there will be controversy because it's an impossible task.
Oh.
And then 9 a.m. Wednesday with the Coach of the Year, you know, Brian Kelly, I thought, had a chance to wrap it up. But that beatdown Saturday, I think, you know, it's kind of like Manny Diaz. That beatdown he had against North Carolina. It's like, I mean, does Dave Dorn win this thing, Wes? I don't know. I'm just asking a question.
I think that the coach, the All-ACC and individual award balloting deadline was yesterday at 5 o'clock. The, by the way, the Heisman Trophy deadline is today at 5 o'clock. All that stuff, by the way, occurs online now. You used to have to mail in this Heisman ballot. It was about like this, and they gave you an envelope that they paid $11 for, and you went and dropped it off or whatever. But I do believe Coach of the Year is one of about five or six that are real issues in the ACC ballot. I will say this, the running back scenario ended up being a lot harder. We talked about it being difficult. It was a lot harder than difficult. It was like a graduate class. Math for me.
Oh, forget it.
There were like three or four positions packed.
Yeah.
Where
it's impossible.
Now remember in the ACC deal here, and a lot of these other awards are the same way in other conferences. You do it where, you know, they name three teams, right? And then they'll name honorable mention or whatever the case may be, depending on the league. So you're picking, in order, nine, six, like in quarterback, three. And by the way, the quarterback thing, yeah, there's a one, and then there's two, but three? I mean, there's a little bit of a battle at three. Linebacker. I'll just give you a linebacker. You know, the ACC has two of the top, like, three or four tacklers in all of FBS football play classified as linebackers. Peyton Wilson and Nick Jackson. Just, okay, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is a linebacker. Okay, how's your first three set up then? How's your next three set up? That's what I mean by that became, the levels of it became difficult, too, in the selection process.
Well, this goes back to something I was beating the drum on in the middle of the summer, and how important it was for 2020 to take place for ACC football, because I thought that the league had a chance to really be pretty good. Mm-hmm. And here we are, Wes, a couple days before Christmas, and the bowl's getting cranked up. The ACC has 50% of the college football playoff. 50%.
Right.
First time ever the league's put two of the four in the Final Four. The ACC this week, in the final college football playoff rankings, has more teams in the top 25 than any league. It just means more when you have more. The ACC's got five, rearview mirror, everybody else. You start talking about all ACC. The reason why I thought the league had a chance and why it was so important to play is the quality of depth of personnel. Forget quarterbacks. I told you before the season started, the ACC had the best collection of quarterbacks top to bottom, and it wasn't close versus everybody in the country.
Right.
I think that was proven to be true. I almost pity folks who have a ballot for all ACC. It is going to be incredibly difficult. And when we get to that list tomorrow of all ACC, I promise you, you're going to sit there and watch it and go, oh, how in the world did you leave off fill in the blank?
Exactly.
And you're going to say that
exactly
5 or 6 times during that announcement tomorrow at 9 a.m. And I would even say ACC Coach of the Year to me is fascinating because I think you do have 3 or 4 candidates. And I don't have a vote. I don't like to vote in any of this stuff, Heisman, any of this stuff. But the ACC Coach of the Year, Wes, I think at the end of the day, after what happened Saturday, I would lean Dave Dorn at NC State going 8-3. That would be my – if I had a vote, that's where I would go. I'd go with Dave Dorn with the Wolfpack.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes out. I mean, who knows? It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be. And we're pleased to be able to present it to you. And we'll start tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock, we'll get into the All-ACC. 9 o'clock today, Dabo Swinney. 8 o'clock this morning, Eric McClain live from the Grand Strand. He is on the call of the Myrtle Beach Bowl today with Courtney Lyle and Marty Smith and Ryan McGee.
Yep.
Appalachian Excellent. State against the Mean Green of North Texas.
Yep. Get that all over you. Big good one.
Yep. So there we go. We're looking forward to that. Okay. Notre Dame and a couple of things here. The Irish got to the edge again. ACC football championship game on Saturday. Got right to the edge, but could not exercise the demon pack. Could not take that next step. And it's while doing it during the regular season was one thing, the Irish found themselves in another postseason game and not quite able to clinch, if you will, in losing to Clemson 34-10. It's the fourth time under Brian Kelly they've been to marquee postseason games and come up short.
Well, Wes, I think the bigger issue is not that they came up short. It's the margin of victory, or in this particular case, defeat. That's a 24-point L Saturday. Clemson buried him by 27-18. The Fiesta Bowl, it's a double-digit loss to Ohio State. The Alabama National Championship game was much like Saturday. It was over early. I mean, it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to be obliterated, and that is a problem. All right, that is an issue. And that is one of those stigmas on Notre Dame football right now, big picture, that, oh, here we go again, the brightest of lights, and Notre Dame comes up really small. And for a proud fan base, tradition, history, I don't need to go through all the details. This is something that Notre Dame's going to have to figure out. I didn't expect Saturday to be the way it turned out. I mean, I thought Clemson had a pretty good shot to win the game. There's no shame in losing those guys. But that game wasn't competitive. I mean, that game was a men versus boys. And I didn't see that coming at all. But that's why Clemson's Clemson and Notre Dame's trying to get to where the Clemson is. But the Irish need to get over this problem of being exposed in the biggest of moments. And I know that's hard for Notre Dame fans to listen to because it is a proud fan base. But they've got woodshed written all over them when it's a primetime major game. I mean, the numbers don't lie. So Notre Dame's got to figure that out, and they better figure it out in a hurry because the next game's Alabama, and you know the way the Tide can score. And Notre Dame just needs that moment, right, where they just kind of exercise that demon. You kind of felt that maybe they did that against Clemson November the 7th. Two things. Number one, it was a regular season game. Not that it discounts, you beat Clemson counts, but there wasn't a Trevor Lawrence. You know what? There wasn't a Skowski. There wasn't a Davis. There wasn't a Jones. And all of a sudden you saw a healthy Clemson, and it just looked like, hey, there was a gap between where Clemson is
right, and
where Notre Dame is. And no shame on that. And here's the other thing. This is a Notre Dame team loaded with seniors. You go through the two deep of Notre Dame's roster. Look at the starters. Seniors. I think there's 17 seniors that start. This is supposed to be the time, right? You've got the fifth-year senior, Ian Book, who's had a great year. Notre Dame's had a great year, except Saturday laid an egg. But this has got to be the kind of team that, hey, you go through those cycles when you have a senior-laden team. These are a bunch of grown men. And this should be the moment for Notre Dame. It really should be. So I'm fascinated to see how Brian Kelly and that coaching staff, and I know Clark Lee's going to Vandy and all that stuff, but he'll still be dialed in with the playoffs. But I am fascinated to see how Notre Dame responds with all that great senior leadership and really being embarrassed Saturday in the ACC championship game. And now everybody's just going to assume, oh, they're going to go play Alabama. Bama's going to put 50 on them. They're going to run them out of the building just like they did back. Hey, this is a different team for Notre Dame. But now they got to – I think there's kind of a added pressure on the Irish now as they make it back to the college football playoff. They've only been there once. They lost by 27. Now they're going back twice, coming off a tough loss with senior leadership, the way they've got that locker room. They will be a fascinating team to watch on January the 1st.
I agree with that. I think the Clemson opponent will also be trying to exercise some
defense. No doubt.
Not necessarily Ohio State, because remember Cardale Jones took them to the win against not only Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, but then won the very first college football playoff game in Arlington. But here's the sneaky trick about the Big Ten. They haven't been successful at all since that night.
Have won a game.
Big Ten's yet to scratch it. Haven't won a game. You go back and look, I mean, Michigan State, whoa, 15? Yikes. 16 with Ohio State, 19 with Ohio State. Now here are the Buckeyes one more time. And Pac's what? Already told you, Clemson's been living rent-free.
Clemson's living rent-free in the state of Ohio. Every Buckeye fan that calls my show is still complaining about refs and stuff. It's like, man, that's about as loser talk as it gets.
That's right.
The other thing about that list that you just saw, Michigan State, 15, shut out. Ohio State in 16, Clemson, shut out. Last year, right, whining about it. I mean, you're up 16-0. You got to leave with 3 minutes to go. Close the deal. You didn't. Lost. I mean, it's one thing right to say, listen, that league hasn't won a playoff game since the Buckeyes won the first year of the college football playoff. And until last year, had not scored a point in the college football playoff. I let that marinate a second for a league that takes a great deal of pride, and rightfully so, with its football tradition. So, again, I think that's what adds the intrigue of we get into the playoffs now, that Ohio State had circled the calendar. And again, they've got Clemson on the brain, woulda, coulda, shoulda. And here's Notre Dame with something to prove, too, in the big moment. So we will see. And again, grab your popcorn January 1st, get it all over you. But the ACC got two of the final four, and – nobody else does. Nobody else does.
Just there you go. All right, when we come back, Heisman Trophy ballots, as I said a moment ago, are due electronically at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Well, guess who proved he might be the best player in college football again on Saturday? When we come back, we will talk about the Tiger signal caller, Trevor Lawrence, and his coach. Joins us at 9 right here on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Here's what I would say. It would be a crying shame if the Heisman didn't attach their name to Trevor Lawrence. All right? That would be a shame. All right? I know that's become a stat award, but if you watch college football and you don't know this is the best player in the country, I don't know what you're looking at. So to me, the Heisman should want their name attached to Trevor Lawrence. That's what I got to say about that guy.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, there are so many terrific players in the game today. I mean, we are blessed as fans to be able to turn on the television and watch Devontae Smith or Najee Harris or, you know, Trask. I mean, you pick one. I mean, the guys have had unbelievable players, unbelievable years. But there is no question the best college football player is number 16 at Clemson. Whether he wins the Heisman, I don't know. I mean, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, hey, down the road we go. But Dabo's 100% right. That dude right there with the ball that you're watching, he's the best player. And he is the best player in college football. End of story. End of debate.
And just exemplified it on Saturday, right?
Yes.
I mean, when it comes to winning, there's nobody his equal when it comes to winning. You know that. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job just in that discipline alone. Statistically, big games. I mean, we're now to the question, Pack, and it will be, in my opinion, he will be the ACC Player of the Year. It's who I voted for. I don't mind telling you that. But the question here now is his body of work in 3 years going to be enough to put him near the top of the calendar, top of the chart of everybody that's ever played in this conference? I mean, we're just looking at this year with him at quarterback. But the all-time argument in this conference will – that I say argument, discussion will need to be had at some point.
I hate to cut the chase on this one. I think it's easy. I think it's easy.
Statistically, wins and losses, Pack, it is easy.
This is
it's
not
very easy.
Wes, Trevor Lawrence is the best player in the ACC since Dirt. Now, you better bring a national championship to the table to have this conversation. Now, if you don't have one of those,
that's correct.
You take your guy and go sit down over here on the couch with my Bojangles biscuit pillow, all right? The guy's 34-1. Now, if you don't have 34-1 on your table, you go sit down over here on the couch. I think I've eliminated everybody. The guy's unbelievable. The guy is unbelievable. Yeah. ACC championships, yeah, he's played in three of them. Guess how many he's won? Three of them. Right. He's got a chance to win another national championship. That could be two. I mean, his numbers in this day and age of college football, and again, I know the game's changed. Well, the game looks different now than it did in the 60s and the 80s and 20 years ago. I get it. But as far as leadership, what you do off the field in terms of what you do, give back to the community, all that stuff, wins, losses, championships, hardware, conducting yourself with class, taking shots from other commentators on other networks that are just looking for, let me tear something down because the guy's so good. Is he perfect? No, nobody is. But that dude right there, in my opinion, is the best player in the ACC since Dirt. 16 for the right. Clemson Tigers. Now, you can bring whatever stat you want. I guarantee you that dude's numbers will match up, if not obliterate, whatever you bring to the table.
Now, let me ask you this, because a couple of years ago when they won out in Santa Clara, you were telling me, and rightly so, I still think to this day you're right, that Christian Wilkins, right?
Yep.
Was the best player in Clemson history, right?
Yep. I said that. That guy though, right there.
So
is,
are we?
That guy right there is 34-1. To me, Christian, and the reason I said that for Christian Wilkins was it was above just football. It was above,
right, absolutely.
Multiple national championships, ACC titles. He got 1 degree. He got 2 degrees. He decided to stay. He could have gone pro. Came back. To me, he became the poster child of the ultimate college experience guy. Now, Trevor Lawrence, in all likelihood, is going to go pro. Why wouldn't you? I mean, hey, what else have you done? He got his degree. He's engaged. Congratulations. 3 ACC titles, national championship. May win another one. Again, the numbers are unbelievable. But in 3 years, you cannot argue with what this guy's accomplished. What Christian Wilkins did in 4, to me, is like the ultimate college football experience for a player / student athlete. So choose your poison, Wes, on that one. Choose your poison.
All right. I agree. I think it's an incredible discussion to have, and it also speaks to, obviously, the great Tigers' success here the last decade in particular. Let's go to the latest odds for the Heisman Memorial Trophy, which, as you may have seen over the weekend, will not be presented until early January. Here's where this stands this morning, according to Caesars by William Hill. Devontae Smith's minus 170, Mac Jones plus 160, then Trevor Lawrence at plus 1,500. Devontae Smith, I had not had a chance to watch him play extended time until the other night in the SEC championship game.
Dude's
very
great.
Very talented player.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Very talented player. Impacts the game in so many different ways.
But see all those names on that list? Devontae Smith, Kyle Trask, Najee Harris, Mac Jones. All, again, like I told you, as college football fans, we have been spoiled rotten with how good all those guys are. But right. If we're going to go start a college football team tomorrow, here's that list. Devontae Smith, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Kyle Trask, Najee Harris. All great, right? All had awesome years. all going to be terrific pros, all that good stuff. But if I said to you today, hey, we're going to have a college football draft, all right, you're going to go start your team. You get the first pick. Who are you going to pick? Is there any doubt of those five guys on the list for a college football team who you're going to select first? Is there any question? I mean, if you didn't pick the guy named Trevor Lawrence, you're an idiot. I mean, it's not even close. It really isn't. It's not even close. And I'm not taking anything away from those other guys because they are great players. And whoever wins Heisman, good for them. But Trevor Lawrence is the best player in college football. It's laughable to even have the debate.
The interesting part about this is, and I hate to say this, this has a lot of Peyton Manning feel to it. Has a lot of Peyton Manning feel to it, Pac. Clearly the best player in college football, may not win the trophy.
Hey, you know, if whoever wins the Heisman wins the Heisman. I mean, I'll be the first one to say, man, they deserve it. They're great. Had an awesome year and terrific. But, you know, you're kind of fooling yourself if you don't think the guy down there in Tigertown is not the best player.
Well,
did he have the best year? He did not have the best year.
Right.
And let me emphasize that. He did not have the best year. But if the object was to pad stats and keep guys in the game, I mean, we gave you that stat the other day of, it's what, 38 games that he's played in his career. He's played in the fourth quarter, what, 21 of them? I mean, right. If the intent was to, hey, let's be Oklahoma and run a score up on people and beat people to death, hey, do you think Trevor Lawrence wouldn't have crazy numbers? Of course he would. But it's a team game. Yeah, you know, there's a reason Oklahoma hasn't won a college football playoff game and Clemson has. It doesn't mean Oklahoma doesn't have really good players. They have great players. And Lincoln Riley is an awesome coach. But, you know, the Heisman, is it the best player or the guy who had the best year? Sometimes that could be two different people.
Yeah, good point. More to come on this topic and more. Eric McClain joins us top of the hour as well. We'll ask him about it. When we come back, we'll get into some other things from around the ACC during the weekend as well. Quick reminder to you, though, special holiday edition of In Play comes up tomorrow night after an ACC basketball doubleheader at 11 p.m., I should say, not 11 a.m. That would not be a doubleheader of basketball. It'd be a doubleheader of Packer and Durham. They'll discuss the conference's hottest topics, interviews legendary players and coaches, as well as an inside look at what it's like to be a student athlete in this weird 2020. Kelsey Riggs, EJ Manuel host In Play tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern on ACC Network. All right, when we come back, we'll turn our attention to hoops. There are a couple of basketball stories to pass along. We'll do that next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Lots to cover today. I mean, a lot to cover. College football playoffs, championship Saturday, and of course, hoops. You can jump on board too, by the way, at 844-SAY-ACCN. All right, basketball on the brain for this segment before Eric McClain comes rolling in here at the top of the hour.
Coming around the bend here, a couple of conference games for you tomorrow night. Syracuse, Notre Dame, State Carolina on this fine network of entertainment, information, and broadcast. But that being said, my non-football of the weekend is about the time I was ready to pronounce some clarity, we didn't get any, Pac. We ain't got none. Because UCF beat Florida State in Tallahassee the other night.
Jeez.
To snap the Noles home court win streak, non-conference win streak, all sorts of streaks. Didn't see any clarity there. Corey Alexander and I, Saturday night, while many of y'all were watching Clemson put the bow on the ACC football title, we were watching Syracuse come from 16 down in the second half to get it to overtime to eventually beat Buffalo. I was looking for clarity. Louisville, I was looking for more the other Oof. Day against Wisconsin.
Oof.
Notre Dame, I was looking for a little more against Purdue. Pack, I didn't get any clarity this weekend.
Wait, You're talking about, listen to Pack, he's so smart. Last week I kept telling you, hey, the safest bet in the ACC in hoops, Florida State. And I saw that score about fell off the couch. Like, what are we doing? UCF, double digit? I don't know what to tell you on that one.
Chris Patola signed up for a show the other night. They had no idea they were getting one.
Gosh. I didn't see that one coming at all.
I didn't either.
Yeah, at all.
Nope.
My non-football story of the weekend going hoops was, hey, Kentucky, big blue nation. I know y'all are passionate. I know you've got a great basketball tradition, and I respect it because I love the fact that, the Commonwealth of Kentucky loves their college hoops. They love Louisville. They love Kentucky. But I tell you what, big blue nation, you guys are one up and five down. And you need to get the ACC off your schedule because right now the Atlantic Coast Conference is taking Big Blue Nation and going cupcake. You heard me, cupcake.
Yeah.
0-3 against the ACC this year for Big Blue Nation. Off to their worst start since the 1926-27 season. Things got so bad Saturday in this game right here that Kentucky had players crying on the bench because they weren't getting playing time. And a guy walk off. I mean, Coach Cal, what's going on there in Lexington? Georgia Tech, L. Notre Dame, L. North Carolina, L. Guess what happens this weekend? Louisville.
Oh, no.
I'm just telling you. And, you know, we've had videos. We've had people circle the date now. You're talking about circling the calendar. The day after Christmas, Louisville and Kentucky. And right now, Big Blue Nation, 0 for the ACC this year. So that would be my big top story on the hardwood from the weekend. And North Carolina down double digits early. I keep telling you, I like the fight with Roy Williams' guys. They gave me that against Iowa where they got blown out early, picked themselves up, actually took the lead. Couldn't hold on because Iowa was awfully good. They're double digits down to Kentucky. No problem. Fought back. Finished it off in a little 33-15 run to end the game to win by double digits. So that's my story from the weekend.
Can I give you a little note that I heard yesterday and went back and did a little research on last night? Last time Kentucky had a 1-5 start, they finished 3-13 and 1-6 in the Southern Conference, 1926-27. They were 18th in the Southern Conference when they finished 1-6 that year. But this is more for like you and me and fans of a single cube. Do you know who the basketball coach at Kentucky was in 1926-27?
I do not.
Basil Hayden.
Well, I know this much. Like I said, when you see kids crying because they're not getting playing time and dudes walking off the floor. I know it's a new era of 18-20-year-olds, but the man in Lexington's got his hands full. I'm just going to tell you. But the ACC has feasted on Big Blue Nation. And don't you know Louisville, after what they gave us Saturday, granted, they were shorthanded playing with a couple hands tied behind their back. I turned that game off when it was 80-38.
Right.
Just telling you. So, you know the practices this week with Chris Mack and John Calipari. I know it's Christmas. I got it. But they're going to see each other Saturday, and they're both coming off those kind of L's that you just go, yikes, we're better than this. And they are both better than that. I suspect that it'll be pretty intense this week in the Commonwealth, don't you? I mean, and I don't care when those two get together. I don't care what it is. Football, basketball, baseball, women's tennis, rowing.
Ballroom dancing.
It doesn't matter, man. The Commonwealth gets it. That's why I've always loved that state, because they get it. And it is intense, and it doesn't matter if you're wearing blue or red. It's important. And given what happened over the weekend, how much they both love the hardwood, that will be some fun thing to watch on Saturday coming up. Can't wait.
That'll be good. Absolutely. You're not intrigued at all by Basil Hayden being the basketball coach at Kentucky.
Not really. No. In fact, if you gave me three black and white photos and one of them was Basil,
doesn't matter.
And you said to me, "Pack, I'm going to give you the first pour of my favorite bourbon. You have to guess which one of those three." I have no earthly idea who Basil Hayden is. I have no idea. No idea.
But well, name is obviously on a line of beverage that you enjoy from time to time.
I get that, but I'm not sure I could pick him out of a lineup, is what I'm telling you.
I'm not sure that matters. I just think the fact that they're 1-5 and the last time they were 1-5 was 1926-27, and the guy coaching the basketball team only coached him for 1 year, and his name is far better known for being on a bottle of bourbon than his coaching the basketball team.
I mean, life's okay, isn't it? I mean, hey, when you got your name on a bottle of bourbon, you've kind of become somebody, haven't you?
Well, I was getting ready to say, you can aspire to higher calling sometimes, Pack. Don't you think your name on a bottle of bourbon would be probably a good idea, too?
I'd kind of like it. I told you that story about that guy that sent me that bottle of bourbon from Alabama over the weekend. I got a head start this weekend. It was pretty good, Wes, I got to tell you. I had the fire roaring with the dogs, football and hoops.
Fire.
Brown. Oh, yeah, I had fires every day, Saturday, Sunday. It was great. Bourbon. Wow. Life was good, man. And a great dinner treat, which we will explain later in the show. Tremendous.
Yeah. One of apparently many gifts that arrived to the Packer domicile. Yeah,
I know you haven't. We haven't showed the my partner. I got a partner in here now, sitting in his chair. I don't know if they can use the magic of Bristol. I'm going to pull a West Durham producer move here, director producer move.
Sure, why not?
But I've got a partner that arrived that is keeping the other seat warm here at the table.
That's good.
So it's just I'm just telling you.
We may
lots of gifts later. This weekend.
Later in the show, yeah.
Okay, you got it.
All right, coming up, Eric McClain will join us from the Grand Strand. I wonder if he's been to Wings this morning and gotten the three T-shirts for $10. We'll talk to Emac as he gets ready to call the Myrtle Beach Bowl later today with Courtney Lyle and also Marty and McGee. We'll also outline where the other ACC teams are going as it relates to postseason play. Carolina's headed to Capital One Orange Bowl. NC State's going to be at the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Both those games are January 2nd. The Duke's mayonnaise game, Wake Forest and Wisconsin, is December 30th. The Cheez-It game features Miami and Oklahoma State on December 29th. We'll touch on that as well. But when we come back, Eric McClain joins us. Hour 2, Packer and Durham on a Monday. Coming up next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.